here at Roper Heights Baptist Church, many times we observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. When we do it as a part of our regular service, or we do it as an add-on to our to that service. Now, while that's perfectly okay, and there is no right way or wrong way really to do this, the Bible just said, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. I believe every once in a while that this ought to be the focal point of our service when we do it. We ought to understand what we're doing. This is just not, this today is not merely crackers and grape juice. This is a representation of the most precious thing we know. It is a representation of a God who loved us so much that he took on our earthly form and allowed himself to be crucified on a cross, his body broken, his blood spilled for unworthy sinners like me and you. This is what we're celebrating today. And if you think today that this is just crackers and juice and this is just another service at another Baptist church, then my friend, you're wrong today. You're wrong. But we are here to celebrate the fact that we serve a risen Savior. Amen. Well, glory. My God's alive this morning. I'm glad I know this man called Jesus. You know, I look back over my life sometimes, and there's a lot of mistakes I've made. There's a lot of things I've done that I shouldn't have done. There are things that I didn't do that I should have done. But when I look back over the whole thing, I'm glad that I can say, I made the choice to follow Jesus years ago. I'm glad I'm a child of the Most High King. Amen. Well, glory, I feel what I feel this morning. It's good to be, you know, I was just sitting up here thinking a while ago of how wonderful it is to be able to come into a place like this and feel the love, the compassion, the kindred spirit that we have of folks that are glad to see each other, folks that genuinely care about each other. Ain't it wonderful to be able to come into a place like this? But today we're celebrating the Lord's Supper. I want, number one, for you to understand the Passover. Now, there is a difference in the Passover and the Lord's Supper. We are not celebrating Passover today. We are celebrating the Lord's Supper. In this scripture that I've read, they were celebrating the Passover. What is the Passover? Well, the Passover occurred while the Jews were still in Egypt. In fact, it occurred while Moses was still negotiating with Pharaoh about letting God's people go. And God began to send plague after plague after plague. And finally, the Lord told Moses, he said, I'm about to send a plague that will be so horrific that Pharaoh will have no option but to let the people go. He said, this night I'm going to send death's destroyer in among the people. And the firstborn of every family will be slain. And the firstborn of every animal throughout the land will be slain. Now what a horrible thing if God would have just left it like that. But the Lord said to show that there is a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. There is a difference between a lost and dying world and a saved world. The Lord said, I want you to do something. He said, you take a little lamb, you put him up, you make sure that he's without spot or without blemish. And then you slay that lamb and you take the blood of the sacrifice. And he said, you put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel of the house. And he said, that night, he said, when the destroyer comes through, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Woo! I'm telling you something, it's still the blood today. It's still the blood of Jesus Christ that is the only hope we have. It is still the blood of Jesus Christ that causes God to look on us and to have mercy on us. I'm telling you today, there's not a one of us in here today that doesn't deserve to die and burn in a devil's hell. We're filthy, stinking, rotten sinners. That's all we are. But when the blood is applied, the blow, glory, God passes over us in grace and in mercy. Woo! I'm living in God's grace today. And I'd rather live in God's grace than to live in my intellect. I'd rather live in God's grace than to live in my heart's understanding. I'd rather live in God's grace than to live in my physical capabilities. Because let me tell you something. One day, my physical capabilities will fail. One day, my finances will fail. One day, this mind will fail. But the grace of God will never fail. Glory! But he told them, said, you put that blood on there. He said, now when you see the, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. He said, now I want you to eat a meal. And there was some significance to that meal. It was a bitter thing they ate. The unleavened bread was filled with bitter herbs. And this was to remind the Israelites of their bitter years of slavery, their bitter years of being in bondage to a foreign country, the bitter years of feeling the whip on their back, the bitter years that sin brought. How many of you in this place know today that when we partake of this in just a little while, it ought to remind us of all the bitter years we spent in sin, of all the bitterness of sin in your life? How many in this place have ever known sin to produce anything good in your life? It just doesn't do it. Sin kills, sin destroys, sin causes hurt, it causes heartache. But listen, when we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are redeemed from that sin. Amen. 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 And there is a sweetness and a newness in our life.
Amen.
I get tickled at watching some of y'all sometimes. Kim Workman's a good example. Sitting back there right now, 2 foot off the pew. Just enjoying himself. I tell you what, I think I could get up here under the anointing of the Lord and preach Yankee Doodle, and Kim would be 2 foot off the pew. He's like a kid at Christmas. Something's happened to him. And I've talked with him, and there are others of you who are just like him in the same boat. You know what it is? You've lived a life of heartache, a life of sin, a life that was taking you nowhere, but you found Jesus. And when you found Jesus, you got something to be happy about. A lot of folks don't understand why I get so happy. Because I got something to get happy about, friends. I got something in my heart that makes me want to get up every morning. I got something in my heart that makes me want to love folks that's unlovable. It's called Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, I feel good this morning. If y'all just hang on a minute and take off a bridle, we'll go to church. Amen. It wouldn't take a whole lot this morning. We'd just have church in this place. Because you see, we're talking about the blood. See, what can take away our sin? Nothing but the blood. There's nothing else we have hope in this morning. But he said, the bitter herbs will remind you of that sinful lifestyle. And he says, the wine will remind you of the sacrifice that has been made. This is what we're talking about this morning. When we look at this and you partake of this bread, it's the broken body of Jesus. What was it broken for? It was broken for my sin and for your sin. You see, we come into this world owing a debt we could not pay. But Jesus came into this world to pay a debt he did not owe. Woo! And it was for my redemption and your redemption. And we see that broken body of Jesus. When you take of this today, understand that you're talking about a body that he allowed to be beaten with a cat of nine tails. Some of you may not have heard this story, but a cat of nine tails was a whip that had nine ends on it, and in those ends were woven glass and bone and everything that was sharp. And then they took him and they hooked him up to a whipping post, and the old Roman guard took that whip, and he would take it and he would throw it, and when it would hit the stomach area, it would wrap around, and as it come around, he would pull back, and as he pulled back, that bone and that glass would cut and rip. And a lot of folks see these pictures of a Jesus on the cross that's got a little trickle of blood running down here, a little from his side. Honey, don't you believe that? Jesus was beaten beyond recognition almost. Why? For me and for you. That's why. Woo! When you take this bread this morning, you're not taking just a cracker, but you're taking a representation of a Lord that came and offered his body to be broken in mine and your place. When you take this drink today, this is not just grape juice, but this is a representation of blood that flowed from his precious body. But not just any blood. Woo! Let fat boy breathe a minute. Not just any blood. But you see, now I got to tell this again. I'm not preaching anything new this morning. But I didn't understand it for a long, long time. Even after I was preaching, I didn't fully understand it. All I kept hearing was this blood business, this blood. I said, I got blood, I don't understand it. What's so special about this blood? But as I got older and studied, God gave me revelation on this thing. It was not just blood that flowed in his veins like you and I know. So, Brother Aaron, what are you talking about? Go with me. Let me give you a lesson in anatomy. When a baby is conceived in its mother's womb, I used to think, well, it's hooked onto the cord and it's got its mama's blood supply flowing in it. That ain't right. That little baby's got its own blood supply flowing in it. And you know what? Now this is the thing that'll knock your socks off. You know who determines the blood supply? It ain't the mama. When they have a paternity test on every baby that's ever been born, other than Jesse Brown. Jesse Brown's the only one that had to do what on the mama to see if she was really the mama. That young one looks so much like Lacey, ain't no doubt. But anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there. But when they do a paternity test, they do not test the mother's blood supply to see if that baby has her blood supply. You know what they do? They test the daddy. Why? Because the father determines the blood supply. Wow! Don't you remember where the angel came down to Mary and said, you've been chosen, you're blessed among all women, and said, fear not, that thing that's conceived in you is conceived of the Holy Ghost. And in his blood, in his veins, flew a royal blood that knew no God, that knew no sin, that was perfect in every way. But it was shed for wretched sinners like me and you. Woo! He who could have twitched his eyebrow and destroyed the world allowed the perfect blood to flow.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But let me tell you something. There started There started a river flowing that day on a cross of Calvary. It started with one little drop of that crimson sweet blood. And I'm telling you what, it has flowed through the ages. Woo! Glory! It has flowed through the ages. And whatever it comes in contact with, it is a healing stream. Amen. Well, glory. And I'm glad one day up in Bethel Chapel Baptist Church in LaGrange, Georgia, that the healing stream come flowing my way. And I'm glad I'm like Peter. I didn't get my foot wet or my head wet, but I jumped in and got wet all over in the cleansing stream of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Woo! I'm telling you, wherever that blood flows, it brings healing. It'll flow into a broken marriage and it'll heal it. It'll flow into the hospital and it'll bring healing. Oh, Tom, it'll even flow into the cemeteries or into the hospice centers and bring healing. Woo! Where the blood flows, healing grows. It ain't just a cracker and it ain't just juice. But it's what it represents. It represents the Lord God Almighty who gave Himself for me and for you. Well, glory. But then there's the sweetness of the saying. I want you to see this. We are talking about the God of the universe. But He told them disciples, He knew the future. He knew what was about to happen. And He told them, said, boys, go prepare the table. He sent them somewhere they didn't know they were going, to meet somebody they didn't know, to do something that they didn't know the significance of when they done it. But I want you to grasp this. He knew He was about to lay down His life. He told them, said, I won't eat no more. I won't drink no more. Until it's been fulfilled. He knew. But listen to me. He told them disciples that night. He said, boys, of all the great battle of evil and good that's raging, it's all came down to this. And He just pulled up the table. He said, boys, I'd just rather be right here with y'all tonight than to be anywhere in my universe doing anything. Boys, I just want to love y'all tonight. I just want to know the sweetness of the communion. And man, I'm going to tell you what, that's the reality of this communion. That a holy God loves us. Of all the things God could be doing in His universe, He's took time out today to listen to us as we worship Him. He takes time out for us today to say, I love you. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? And I'm glad that I'm serving in a church filled with people who are the same way. Of all the things you could be doing today, you chose to be here to worship the Lord. And there ain't nothing I can think of right now I'd rather be doing than standing in front of God's people, preaching God's Word, feeling the anointing of God. And I feel Him in this place this morning. He's a wonderful God. Amen. I want you to know something this morning. You may not know this Jesus we're talking about. You may not have ever accepted Him as your personal Savior. But you can today. Amen. That's the good news. You can today. And knowing all of this that was about to transpire, He bowed His head and He gave thanks. Can you imagine that? He gave thanks that He was about to give His life for me and for you. My, 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 my. The cup of which He took that day was not the same cup we take today. He took of the cup of the Passover. There were four cups used in that Passover service. The one He was given was the cup of thanksgiving. But I like it. He took that cup, Tripp, and He handed it out. And He said, here, boy, y'all divide this among yourself. He really said, you ain't going to need this one anymore because you're about to get a new cup. And you know what that new cup was? It was the New Testament in His blood. And that is what we've come to celebrate today. I just feel like it's time to stop. And it's time to ask you, do you know this Jesus? Do you know the Jesus that let His body be broken for you? Do you know the Jesus that allowed His blood to be spilled for you? Let me change that. Spilled kind of makes you think of an accident. It wasn't an accident. Do you know the Jesus who allowed His blood to flow for me and you? Do you know Him today? I want to ask you something. If you died right now and look me in the eye, can you look me in the eye and say, "Preacher, if I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven." If you can't say that, then you don't know about a broken body and blood that flowed for you. Because once you've been immersed in the healing stream, there's no doubt about it. Amen. Let me tell you today, I didn't ask you if you were a Catholic. I didn't ask you if you were Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, Pentecostal. I said, can you look at me and say, "Brother Aaron, I know if I died, I'd go to heaven." That's a troubling question for some of you. Some will say, "Well, preacher, I've been in church all my life." I didn't ask you that, and I don't care. "Preacher, I've been baptized." Goody, I was too. I was a lost baptized folk. On my way to hell, baptized. I said, "Do you know Jesus? If you died right now, would you go to heaven?" If you can't, you don't know what this is about. And if you don't, I invite you to come find Him now. Because this is what it's all about. That Jesus gave His life that sinners like me and you could live. Heads are bowed across the building. Come with a song, please.